Now, a caller says, I don't understand the medical system in this country. People don't get sick from 9 till 5 in the day. Now, doc's not really serving the county. Most people end up going to the ED. Then the follow-up pharmacy service is ridiculous. Most doctors will give you a few tablets to tide you over to the morning, but if you're sick, going back out is not always an option. Pharmacy should be attached to the Now Doc and GP services, where you leave one room and get the medication in another room. Well done to Glenard Plant from shortly after 3 a.m. every morning, gritting car parks at hospitals, factories and shopping centres, trying to keep them frost-free. The council doesn't start till 6 a.m. Lifford to Letterkenny is passable. Traffic moving well. Answering an inquiry from another listener there. Hi, heard the radio. Just travelled from Lifford to Letterkenny. Passable, but just needs lots of extra time for your journey, as you need to take time. Another good morning. I wish schools would go back a week earlier in the summer times for snowy days like this. Hi, Greg. Just want to say the state of the road at Trent across roads is terrible with potholes. You can't avoid them. No one seems to be fixing them. And we'll come back to more of your comments as the morning wears on. Saoirse Brady is Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust and is joining us on the programme now. Hi, how are you getting on, Saoirse? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, we read yesterday that shorter jail sentences and more community service should be introduced, some describing it as a no-brainer for the next government. In fact, I believe that's a quote I can attribute to you. What does this look like, Saoirse, and why would it be advantageous to society?
I suppose, just to clarify, we're not actually asking for shorter jail sentences. What we're asking for is community service in place of those. And part of the reason why is that we are seeing an increasing number of people going to prison for short sentences for non-violent offences, so for 12 months or less. And there's very little that the prison service can actually do with those people during that time. You know, they can't engage with education in the same way that others can. And it's not really treating the underlying causes of the criminality in the first place. So very many people going to prison have a mental health and or an addiction issue. The Director General of the Irish Prison Service themselves, Karen McCaffrey, would say that she estimates about 70% of people in prison have an addiction. But when you have such overcrowding in prisons, there's over 5,000 people there at the moment. There are 500 people over capacity. It means overstretched services, mm-hmm. and it means that people can't get the support that they need to turn their lives around, turn away from crime. So actually what is more effective for the individuals themselves and for their families, and what is more cost effective, is actually people serving more community service. So community sanctions are things like working in the community to remove graffiti, painting community centres, working in food banks, doing charity shop placements. And you know, while people often think that that's a soft on crime approach, it actually isn't, because people still have a record. They still have they still have to pay the sanction. And ultimately, it is more effective, because if they're in employment, if they have accommodation, if they have a strong relationship with their family, those are all maintained. And those are the key factors to help people prevent reoffending in the future.
I think really there's a responsibility as us as the public to actually think about this and formulate our opinions and express those opinions, because these are the type of tinkering at the edges or even directly that governments try to avoid because they can be unpopular. Because we don't what I'm saying is if from my experience, if someone comes on here now and says, we need to do more community service, stop sending people to prison, the text machine would light up saying these people don't care, they're in and out of court, blah, 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 blah. I just believe we need a more nuanced conversation on this.
Actually, I think the public are more nuanced than that, because they understand the underlying causes. We did public attitudes polling with Red Sea before the election, and 4 out of 5 people said that the next government, this government that is currently forming, should focus on alternatives to custody, alternatives to prison for non-violent offences.
Like so what? Robberies, shoplifting, what kind of crimes are you talking?
Road traffic offences, public order offences, you know, petty theft, all of those things. And 2 out of 3 people thought that prison wouldn't be effective in tackling crime. We also asked people, if you had €10 million to tackle crime, how would you spend it? 41% of people actually said more Gardaí. That's not really a surprise. But what was, I suppose, heartening and a bit of a surprise for us was the next most popular answer at 21% was drug treatment with continuing care. Third was youth work. prison spaces and sending people to prison was actually number five on the list out of seven. So I think the public do understand the nuance of this. They understand, you know, two-thirds of people understood that people go into prison with trauma, and actually we're compounding that trauma, and we're not actually getting to the root causes of why a person might offend in the first place. We're not trying to excuse that. What we're trying to say is there is a better way to deal with people in the longer term, to actually stop them from offending in future. And what we need to see this government do is actually implement policy that they already have in place around mental health and addiction, around you know, community-based sanctions for people serving sentences of 12 months or less, and also putting in place a rehabilitation and reintegration strategy for people who leave prison, because that is how we will not only address the numbers going to prison, but also stop more crime. And we really need to see proper investment in those things rather than talking about building more prison spaces that are 5 years in the making.
Yeah, I get you.
That's the opportunity to do this.
And Saoirse, listen, you're the expert in this area, and I'm not contradicting you or being argumentative, but just in relation to, I'll predict what will happen going into the future, is that as soon as this is put on the table by the as soon as this is put on the table by a whoever is in charge of this, whoever is the minister with responsibility, that sort of controlled questioning of the public will be, I think, washed away. Because next thing you know, she talks about, well, we're gonna give community services and this, that, and the other. Next thing, people go to the lowest common denominator. So if you have child abuse images, or you have this, that, and the other, right? And then thing, it comes up on social media, and the whole conversation gets lost in the extremes. And that's why I think we as a public need to genuinely think for ourselves before that cluster stuff begins to happen, because that's exactly what will happen. And then all of a sudden everyone will retreat, because you'll be some sort of a defender of very bad people if you back these kind of claims. Unfortunately, I believe that's the type of society we live in now, and I just think people need to get ahead of that and genuinely think for themselves on these matters.
I understand what you're saying, and we're not talking about those you know, I think child sex abuse images and viewing of those is a violent crime. We're not talking about people who pose a threat to public safety. We're talking about people who repeatedly end up in prison for very short periods of time. And, you know, we are seeing a trend of people enter into prison from homelessness and back out into homelessness again. We are not addressing their issues. So if they have an addiction, they are perhaps offending to feed that addiction. If they, you know, have a mental health issue and have reached crisis, they're not getting the help that they need either in prison or in the community. So we are saying invest money in community services, in preventative interventions that will stop people reaching crisis point and offending in the first place.
And that's
place.
What we want, isn't it? We want people to have an opportunity to rehabilitate. Everyone can make a mistake. Everyone hopefully should be able to turn their lives around, to the majority of people. And then, of course, also there is the cost factor. Chucking someone in jail for a year, 85 odd grand, you can spend a fraction of that.
Actually,
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. We've gotten more recent figures, and it's up to nearly 90 grand, where probation supervision is almost 10% of that cost.
Yeah.
So, or less. So, and it is more effective. All the evidence shows that if you serve a sentence in the community with wraparound supports that help you turn your life around, maintain family contact, get into employment or training, get the mental health or addiction support that you need, then you are less likely to offend in the future. And we need to start thinking in the longer term, and not just this short term reaction to crime. We need to take the longer term approach and actually invest in progressive criminal policy that is evidence informed, evidence based, and will deliver the solutions that we all need.
All right. And do you believe the Irish Penal Reform Trust and others that believe this have friends in government, i.e. whomever the incoming minister with responsibility might be? Do you think there is an appetite? Obviously, we know the government that's going to be there, right? The deck chairs can move around a little bit. We know who's there. Do you believe there's an appetite to actually look at this and reform this area?
Yes, because back in 2022, the government policy, and it was the same government parties in power, actually adopted a progressive approach and talked about reducing the number of people going to prison for 12 months or less. They talked about more community-based sanctions. They talked about that particularly for women. We've seen an increase in the number of women coming into the criminal justice system, so they talked about that. And if you looked at the manifestos, yes, there was a focus on prison expansion, but you also saw Fianna Fáil, for example, talking about an open prison for women. So we had a hustings back in November with representatives from different parties, and people understood, the politicians that were there understood the issues. They understood what drives people very often to commit offences, particularly those low-level offences on a repeated basis. So the last government as well, both government parties signed up to a high-level task force on mental health and addiction for people who come into contact with the criminal justice system. Former Minister of State for Mental Health, Kathleen Lynch, actually chaired that. And it comprised members of from right across the public sector in the criminal justice space. So we need to see a whole of government approach to this. We need to see health-led approaches to people who are going into prison, who maybe could be diverted from prison and get the appropriate treatment that they need. Again, when we did the public attitudes polling, there was support for that, very high support for that, that people would be sent to a dedicated facility rather than going to prison. But also, actually, you're talking about the government parties there, but actually the officials in the Department of Justice, they have actually recommended to the previous Minister for Justice, or who is currently the Minister for Justice, that there are solutions to this. So looking at things like the drug treatment court, getting people into treatment, and, if they breach the conditions, they will end up in custody. But these are alternatives to try and help them turn their lives around and not necessarily just have prison as the default. Prison should always be a last resort. That is what we are calling for. That is what the previous government actually considered putting into law. And we would like to see that in a statutory footing so that we see fewer people going to prison for less serious offences, which then means that those people who are in prison for more serious offences, for violent offences, can get the rehabilitative support that they need, because currently the Irish prison service is so overstretched that there are waiting lists right across the board for all of their services.
Okay, very interesting stuff. Thank you as always. Take care of yourself. That's Saoirse Brady there, Executive Director of the Irish Penal Reform Trust. So I'll just throw it out to you, the listener. What do you think? Do you believe that sentences of 12 months or less can have a disproportionate impact on an offender, and that instead community service should be employed for non-violent based crimes? What do you think? According to the Irish Penal Reform Trust survey, the majority of people are in agreement with that. A caller says, are they trying to empty some prison cells for the tens of thousands who are refusing to pay their TV licence? RTE is a joke. But that's a whole other discussion. A news channel that only shows reruns of swear words nationwide. I'm not sure people go to prison. I don't want to be naive here. I don't think people are sent to prison now for the non-payment of TV fines. I could be wrong. Another, you have to question the difficulty of prison life when Enoch Burke constantly appears outside the school knowing that he'll end up in prison. So prison life obviously doesn't appear that difficult. Well, I imagine it's very difficult. It's not something I would want to do. But for his resolve and his beliefs are such that he believes that's a price worth paying. It doesn't mean it's easy. Same with Mr. Burke. He needs more support from the Irish people, says the listener. I think he has a lot of support for his certain stance on certain issues, breaching court orders. A lot of people will struggle with that because it's a different type of an offence. But anyway, as I say, I don't want to get too entrenched in an issue that I don't really have that strong an opinion on. I have an appointment in the Vascular Clinic in Galway on Friday, 11 a.m. I rely on public transport, and the earliest that I can get there is 1 p.m. I'm from Inishowen. I'll have to get a few buses from Mallon to even get to Letterkenny, and then a bus feeder to Galway. If I asked my neighbour to drive me, I'd be liable if anything happened in the bad weather. Has anyone got any suggestions? I'm an old-aged pensioner, and I can't get the appointment changed. Well, listen, John, fingers crossed, and we'll double check. Fingers crossed the weather might improve by Friday. How quickly it improves, we don't know, but it's certainly a situation where rain and warmer weather is spreading from the south over Thursday night and into Friday. So fingers crossed, because I don't want you spending the week worrying unnecessarily. Fingers crossed, maybe the situation will have improved greatly. In terms of asking your neighbour to drive, you'd be liable if anything happened in the bad weather. Perhaps you might feel guilty about it, but the driver's ultimately responsible, John. And if they are happy to do it, then I would let them do it. They can make that call. Hi, can you let the listeners know the main road from Rye to Remelton has got treacherous with more snow and hail showers, so be careful on the road there. ASDI recommendation is that classroom temperature should reach a minimum of 16 degrees Celsius within 1 hour of opening. My son's in sixth year said his school in Letterkenny was freezing and no way reached 16 degrees. So therefore, should the school not be closed? 16 seems a bit cold to me. But that caller believes it wasn't even reached. There was an article on the news about the level of NCT failures. This caller says, I agree that some people don't look after their vehicles, but cost and lack of mechanics is a big factor, in my opinion. Do those people motoring on good roads and motorways realise the state of our country's roads? The dreaded potholes haven't gone away, you know. The thing, a lot of people maintain the cars to a certain standard and they believe it to be a safe standard. But what they will do is they will put their car through the NCT to get a list of what's wrong and then to go and get it fixed. And that might seem lazy on the face of it, but I'll tell you, if you're struggling financially and you'll pay that extra 30 euro, 28 euro, whatever it is now, because you don't want necessarily to go into a garage and for loads of things to be picked up on your car that don't need doing or you don't feel need doing. So you can go into the NCT centre. I'm not recommending this, but I'm just saying this is what happens in reality. You know, might as well, this is how we live our lives, so we might as well not pretend it's something else. For a lot of people, money's tight. You go in and you let the NCT tell you what's wrong with the car, which is the bare minimum you probably can afford to fix. You go and get that fixed and you bring it back. And it's cost you 30 quid, but you might say, well, at least it saved me 300 or 400 quid because I haven't been told my head gasket needs changing when it doesn't, or something. And I think that's what happens a lot in this county. I think we do that a lot. We put the car into the NCT centre, we find out what's wrong and we go and get it fixed because we don't want to pay huge bills that we can't afford to pay. Right, we're going to go back to Kenneth of the Donegal Weather Channel after this break. Stay where you are. You might remember we were talking to Kenneth Conlon, founder of the Donegal Weather Channel, towards the end of last week, and it was suggested that Saturday and Sunday, things wouldn't be terrible up here, but wind direction would change and Monday, Tuesday would disimprove for us. And Kenneth, that's precisely what's happening right now. We got away with it for the most part, I think, Saturday, Sunday, but we know out and about across the northwest, driving conditions have complicated somewhat. Good morning, Kenneth. So what's in? What are we seeing at the moment and what's in store for the next couple of days?
Good morning, Greg. Well, in relation to today, there's still heavy showers feeding in there from the north-northwest coast, and they'll continue to feed down over the course of today, in this evening and tonight. The showers might ease off into the early hours of tomorrow morning, but more showers are expected in the wind as well, and it will be that little bit colder. So yesterday, a lot of areas around the coast seen a mix of kind of sleet and rain, but further inland, then there's snowfall, but the upper air temperatures will be that bit colder over the next 24 to 48 hours. So a few more places will see snow accumulations again. So
temperature-wise, daytime and nighttime temperatures, what can we expect?
Well, you probably have seen there, Greg, this morning that there's been actually two orange warnings issued for much of the country apart from Donegal. And the reason for that is because the coldest conditions will actually be kind of from North Connacht down into Leinster and over Munster, and locally they're expected to get down to around -8, possibly down to -10 in places. But not forgetting about parts of Donegal, there is a low temperature warning, yellow low temperature warning in place, and there could be some temperatures there tomorrow morning and into the following morning of around -5, -6 expected. But the coldest night, I think, up around Donegal is going to be Thursday night into Friday morning. And there is a potential as well on Friday that we might see some snow again from a frontal system that moves up through the country. But there's a bit of uncertainty on that at the minute, but there is a potential there still.
So we were talking or heard from a gentleman a little earlier on in the show and has to travel to Galway on Friday morning. We were hoping things might improve somewhat by then. Now, I'm not asking you whether he can or can't go, Kenneth. I wouldn't put that on you. But we could still be in the throes of cold, icy weather on Friday morning.
Well, one thing I would expect on the roads on Friday morning again is icy patches and possibly some snow in places. There is a bit of uncertainty at the minute on Friday because some of the forecasts and models actually show quite a band of heavy snow coming up across the country, but it kind of stalls across Connacht in the Midlands. But a majority of them are going for a kind of mix of sleet, rain and turning to snow across the northwest for time, maybe on Friday morning, Friday afternoon. But again, that's something that's kind of developing on models at the minute that'll need to be kept an eye on.
All right.
But I would expect further icy conditions on Friday morning.
And heading into the weekend next week, are there any indications what we can expect? Things getting any milder?
Well, yeah, we're expecting for conditions to actually turn a bit milder coming into the weekend. There is some suggestions there coming into Saturday into Sunday, especially Sunday, that the figures, temperatures might be up in double digits again, so around 9, 10 degrees. So I think many people may welcome that. But the weekend overall is looking mainly dry, which is a good sign. And even into next week is looking mainly dry with high pressure actually building kind of over the UK and Ireland. It won't be as cold, maybe a slight frost at night, but the outlook is for, I suppose, drier and a little warmer weather going into next week.
Right, so just a final, if you don't mind, a final recap of the rest of today, Wednesday and Thursday?
So the rest of today, up across Donegal, further showers of rain, sleet, more increasingly turn to sleet and snow again this evening, and accumulations are expected. And then temperatures tonight will fall to probably as low as minus 3, minus 4, even down to minus 5 locally in some parts. And again, into tomorrow morning, icy conditions are expected with further snow accumulation. So road conditions will remain poor in places, so it will.
All right, brilliant stuff. Listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate your time. That's Kenneth Conlon there, founder of the Donegal Weather Channel, with your update as it relates to weather specific to our region here of the Northwest. Some more of your comments here now. This one from Bridget. With all the talk about a lack of services, consultants, etc. in Letterkenny Hospital, I don't hear any mention of the enormous cost involved in those of us who have different health issues and have to travel to Galway, Sligo, etc. to access these services. For most older people, it involves paying taxis on a regular basis. It's most unfair. And Bridget, we do talk about it on a regular occasion, but it's a very important issue. We really appreciate you raising it with us once again. The Brocker music sessions in Clonan are cancelled tonight. That's due to the weather, just in case you were thinking on attending there. I just heard the radio while driving to work. Someone mentioned that graduates should stay here after getting their education paid for. Well, their response. My son and girlfriend are both graduates. They were never entitled to any grants for college and had to pay to get their master's. Both now can't get a job in the HSE because of the embargo. They're just going to take the first thing that comes up now to get a year's experience and going to Australia. Not really their choice. They just can't get a job in what they're qualified in here. Okay. Interesting point. The council is playing Glenard for Gritton car parks. But just someone was praising the fact that Glenard are out early. I didn't think they were doing it for free, but thank you for that. The roads between North Pole Bar and Clonmany, bad with snow if you're on that section. Good morning, Greg. I live with my wife, both old-aged pensioners living in a council house heated by a heat pump. My problem is the ESB notified us of a house connection near us and our power would be off for 5 hours today. We've no water, no heating, and can't even use the toilet. All this on one of the coldest days of the year. Is this morally right? Could they not change the date to a weekend or next week? Asks that listener. It's a terrible inconvenience for you. But your neighbours, who you're soon to be neighbours, are going to be up to high dough with excitement that the ESB are landing to connect them to the power. So whilst your situation is terrible for them, it's probably a big exciting milestone in the development of their property. I bought an item from a store locally, which is a branch of a national group. I called the number, which is a national number, and I was told they do not transfer calls. I need the 6 digits on the receipt to get dealt with, to get my issue dealt with. When I asked to simply be put through to the local store, I was told no, so much for buying local. Yeah, I have a suspicion I know which type of store you're on about. Some of them are hard to get through to. Does anyone know what the gap is like? I have to drive to Sligo this afternoon. Listeners, do your thing, please. 086 60 25,000. What's the gap like? Normally, it is passable with care, unless something severe happens. It's actually snowing here at the mountaintop again, by the way. Taxpayers' money is a major funder of education and training for our students and people, so we end up providing a highly skilled workforce for other countries, and we've no return on our money and lacking the services here, but the wages and working conditions have to be enhanced. But you heard a real-life story from a mum there. Son and partner paid for their master's. HSE have a recruitment embargo on, she says. They can't get jobs here. What are they supposed to do? Sit on their hands? Come on, Greg. Everyone knew that if you are dependent on electricity for your heating and it went off, you were in trouble. Same with the price hikes. More trouble only talking about it where those pushing it But everybody knew. I know that, but it's just sometimes these things come more to the fore in situations like we're in now. So there you have it. Back with a conversation with Alone after these. Now, we say good morning to Grainne Loughran, Senior Policy and Advocacy Officer with Alone. Thank you for joining us this morning, Grainne.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us.
Now, there's different people in different stages of their life. Those that think, you know, it's only a bit of weather, things were always like that, get on with it and blah, 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 blah. And often I don't think it gives consideration to those that are heavily impacted by this weather. And people who are often older or living alone or in more isolated areas, this can be very concerning for them. Simply a case of even trying to have contact with the outside world or get into the shop for, you know, milk or bread. Weather like this affects people in all different ways, and we must think on the vulnerable at these times, I think.
Absolutely, and it's still a yellow warning in Donegal, but all you have to do really is look out the window and see what's happening outside, and some areas will be more affected than others, but between the dangerous conditions on the roads and the footpaths, the frost, the ice, older people and maybe people with physical or mobility difficulties can often struggle during weather like this. People who live in colder homes as well, on these very cold nights that we're having, what we're encouraging people to do is to really prioritise their heating. Cold weather is a public health issue for all of us to be aware of. And it's something that we're really trying to push mm-hmm. at the moment and over the next couple of days.
Yeah. Now, there are people listening probably to this show right now who might be older or not as steady on the feet, but ordinarily they can manage to, you know, head out the back and gather in some sticks or some turf or what have you for their fire, who might be nervous of doing so and are sitting in a cold house, or who perhaps drive but are a little bit nervous with this weather and can't get to the shops for essentials. Are you suggesting that we should check in on them and just make sure they don't need some stuff brought into the house or a few messages? I think that would be helpful, wouldn't it?
That's exactly it. And if you do have an older neighbour, an older family member living close by, a friend, we'd ask people to not to assume that somebody else has checked in or offered help, and not to leave it to others. Oftentimes we think, oh, well, you know, Mary or Jennifer down the road shared, there's people calling into her the whole time. But everybody is impacted by this cold weather. Not everyone will be able to get out and about. So if you're in the position of being able to offer help, don't leave it to others and do make the call or knock on the door. And what sometimes people worry that they might be intruding or people might not need their help. But what we always say is that the worst anyone can say to you really is, no, thank you, I'm fine. And isn't that a great thing to hear as well?
And I think the majority of older people are very gracious and accepting of help. And, you know, we've had a couple of contacts from older people that have described themselves as older people who are had hospital appointments or what have you, and they're nervous of heading out for fear of slips and falls. And that raises an important issue about the impact slips and falls can have on people of a certain age. And we've statistics that highlights that, don't we, Grainne?
Yeah, so I know as well, just in Donegal particularly, a lot of older people have to travel good distances for medical appointments. So not just as fortunate as in other parts of the country where it might be easier to access those appointments. But those slips, trips and falls, particularly in people who are over 75, can have very serious and sometimes, unfortunately, even fatal consequences. So what we would say to people is that if you do have an appointment coming up, if you're not the most steady on your feet or concerned, if you can and you're worried about getting there, do see if you can reschedule it or see if you can get a neighbour or family member to help get you there and back. It's the most important thing to prioritise is your health. This cold weather, times like these, there's huge increases, and we're hearing it on the news about the A&E departments across the country and hospital trolleys. Nobody wants to end up having to go into A&E in one of these days. So if anything you can do to prevent the risk of that happening, do so.
Yeah, we're seeing potentially down the country from us here, very low temperatures, -8, -9, -10 potential. It's not going to get quite as cold here, but it can get very cold and it has very, very quickly. And people, whether they're older or not, should keep the heating on in their home where they can, especially in rooms that they use the most. Eating and drinking hot food and beverages is important to staying warm too, Grainne.
Absolutely. That's really important to just keep your body temperature up. Things as well, like wearing a couple of layers of clothing. These things that a lot of people will know already, but just to remind people of as well, to keep the heating to a good temperature. I know that the energy costs have gone up fairly considerably in the last couple of years, but we'd urge people to prioritise keeping the heat on. Again, that's something that helps you to maintain your health, and this cold snap will last just for the couple of days. So we'd really say to people, if you need your heating on for extended periods during the day, it's better to do that.
Yeah, and if your money is incredibly tight, there are other supports out there. There are agencies that can support you in filling any gaps that you might have if you use up too much energy. And stay in touch with each other. That's what we really need to do. And there's an important piece of advice here, I think, as well, for those who might sort of dig an electric blanket out or what have you from the back of the cupboard. Maybe it's been there since the 80s or 90s, I don't know. But people might be more inclined to use an electric blanket now. Just check for signs of wear and tear, and that it's up to modern standards. Just to be really careful, because unfortunately, often when we talk about off the back of things that have happened in the past, and we want to avoid any future problems.
100%. Yeah, you have to be careful of things that anything that's electrical like that, and things that things that are kind of older that have been damaged or wiring in any way. Just be careful, especially with things like electric blankets that people might have on while sleeping and things like that, that you're not keeping the same eye on. So just be cautious of things like that.
Okay.
And I suppose, as you said as well, organisations like ourselves at Alone are available, whether it's to support in these cold days, whether it's to support with financial difficulties or energy concerns. The support is there for people who do need it.
No one is going to be left, if they reach out, no one's going to be left in a freezing cold house, especially if they're an older person. Okay, Grainne Loughran, Senior Policy and Advocacy Officer with Alone, thank you for your time. Take care of yourself. Right, we appreciate Grainne's time there, as I mentioned. Hi, Greg. In relation to the health system, that is a disaster. I think health should be taken as a separate body with teams of doctors and medical staff from each region involved. A couple of years ago, Dr. O'Rourke was on your show highlighting what needed to be done. Today, you've got Dr. McCauley and I think maybe Dr. Sugru as well. These people know exactly what needs to be done, but it's all falling on deaf ears. The system that's in place at the minute is a shambles and very worrying indeed. So they're saying, listen to the professionals, listen to the frontline workers and take on board what advice they might have. You need to look at the calibre of the nurse and the doctor. Do not have the same training or experience, and it's so obvious now. There are plenty of staff, but the calibre is desperate. We need to seriously address this issue. I'm fed up listening that there's no staff. This is not the issue. Okay, I get you. In terms of some of the concerns you've raised, that did come out of was proven in a HICWA report. All right, that's older information there in terms of bus times. Dear Greg, the issue of living trusts was raised by a listener, and my hesitation, apart from the fact that it could have taken up the entire time of your show, was because the correct term is a lifetime trust. You divert yourself of legal ownership in your lifetime rather than on your death, as in the will. Now, this is, of course, from Geraldine, who was in with us, I believe. There's also a different concept, living will, which is also known as an advanced care directive, where you address what treatment you wish to sustain life in a dying situation. Trusts are a straightforward concept, but the detail is difficult, and their popularity is in saving tax. And in the UK, there's a real saving if you transfer property into a trust and you survive over 7 years of making a transfer into a trust. Your estate will have to pay inheritance tax, not at the full amount of 40%, but at the reduced amount of 20%, which is payable when the payment is made during your lifetime. The Queen Mother availed of this, doing the transfer at 90 and living to 97. Well, this does not apply to Ireland, as our tax laws are entirely different, but this is a popular misconception as we are a border county. There are also many other misconceptions about trusts. I'm aware that parents of disabled children where trusts are ideal vehicle legally are often not practical for the average person, as most of us would not have access to the type of funds that could provide for a lifetime of care. The issue then is if the disabled child or adult has access to funds, they may be denied means-tested benefits, often that are more beneficial schemes. So the whole area of trust is a minefield for the average person, as they benefit the wealthy much more, which kind of feels like it's always the case. The richer you are, the easier your life is. Okay, we'll be back with our next guests on the 9 to noon show after we take a break. Please stay right where you are. How would you want, would you ever wanted to own your own island? Well, you could. It's an island off the beautiful west coast of our own county here, County Donegal. Kenneth Campbell is of Campbell Estate Agents in Dunloe, and he joins us now. Hi, Kenneth, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg, how are you?
Good, great to have you on the show. So, it's not often islands in their entirety come onto the market, is it?
Very, very seldom we would get the opportunity to sell a complete island on its own. We sell plenty of property on the local islands here, Arranmore, Rutland, Innisfree, Ether, and so on, Gowl Island, but very rarely will you get the opportunity to buy an island outright.
Right, so this the island in question is Roan Inish. What's the history of this island?
So it's located 5 kilometres off Port New Pier there. It would be the most the closest pier to launch a boat from and get out. Like, the access is via private boat. As far as I know, the island has been used agriculturally. Although on the videos and the photographs that we took, there are a number of what we call shelter huts towards the end of the island, but there's no obvious ruins there, so I don't think anyone has ever lived on the property. That said, there coincidentally there was an evening in Mahari Community Centre and at Mahari where there was actually a talk about the island and the history of it. So that's available to view on the Upper Rosses History Forum Facebook page.
It was the scene of a film, The Secret of Roan Inish. It's a 1994 independent fantasy adventure film from John Sayles. Did you ever watch it?
I didn't, no.
You should do your research, Kenneth. Whoever buys this island, what do you expect them to use it for? Because, I mean, as you mentioned, it's been used for agricultural reasons in the past. I don't know how lush the grass is out there, but transporting animals in and out of it may not be for someone, or maybe someone might try and build on it. What do you think?
Well, I don't think there's any development potential with it, Greg. Right. It is in an area of known as special protection area and a natural heritage area. And I'm assuming there's a number of wildlife out there as well.
Well, it's called the Island of Seals, so...
Yeah. We've also had... Like, we've had plenty of inquiries here. I expect it to appeal more so to the young farmers that will be able to claim their payments on it, the reps and acres schemes. We've also had a few inquiries of individuals that like the idea of owning an island outright. One particular gentleman lives in London and has actually camped on the island on numerous occasions, so he's quite familiar with it. He kayaks out from Port New Pier. And we've also had inquiries from state bodies as well, so we're hopeful it'll make asking price soon enough.
Yeah, and the asking price is, well, you just have a little bit of change out of 90,000 euro. How do you value something like this? I mean, because obviously we'd have an idea of an acre of land, how much that costs, but then you have to factor in that this is the potential to own your own island as well, and there's other factors you have to include, I'm sure.
Well, we've taken the agricultural approach with this one, just agriculture land only. Like I say, we don't see there's any development potential, and then there is that other option that you mentioned of someone just liking the idea of owning the island, so they might be prepared to pay more for it for that reason.
You're happy you're going to get up to the 90k?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Kamir, is there much property coming to market in the west of the county at the moment? Kenneth, what's it like at the moment, more broadly speaking?
Yeah, thankfully we're quite busy, Greg. We're getting instructions on a weekly basis here. We're started back and we've got a number of properties just coming in. So they're coming in. It takes a bit of time to get them to market with photographs, videos, etc. And weather as well, obviously. But on the whole, no, it's good and steady, thank God.
And what kind of properties do you see moving over the course of 25?
It's all residential, mostly residential that we do here, and the odd site as well. But yeah, good houses will sell. They'll get interest very quickly. And yeah, so looking forward to the year ahead.
And do you see anything leading to an uptick sort of in the amount of properties that are available? There's some speculation that maybe a lot of people are tied into, you know, fixed-term mortgages. They'll be coming off those shortly. Maybe that might trigger some sort of a mini rush.
No, I don't see anything like that. I think it's just going to keep performing steadily as it has been this last number of years.
All right, okay. Well, if anyone wants any more information on the island or any other properties, I'm sure Kenneth Campbell will look after you at Campbell Estate Agents Dunloe. I presume a Google search will get you there.
Yeah, campbells.ie and everything I have is listed there, Greg.
Super stuff.
Thanks.
Take care, Kenneth. All right, thank you for that. So your very own island, €90,000. It's Roan Island. It's 25 acres. It's also called the Island of the Seals. It's located in the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, of course. You can paddle out 5 kilometres. Wouldn't be for me. I'd steam out there in the boat, I think, more likely. Bit disappointing you can't build on it. I don't think it's a special area of conservation, so we have to let all those seals that are destroying the salmon stocks have somewhere to live, don't we? But would it be for you? Would you like that? Would you? Say, for instance, there was a house on it and someone said, right, you can go out and live on there now, rent-free, live in the house for a year. Would you do it? Would you pay to go out and sort of disconnect from the outside world? Maybe that would be a dream for some people or a nightmare for others. But how would that sound? It's a bit of a fantasy, isn't it? Just heading out there onto the island, only able to come back in when the weather permitted, so on and so forth. Hi, Greg. Thank you for all the updates. And it's our listeners you have to thank, of course. Thanks for all the updates. Does anyone know what the Stranorlar to Convoy Road is like? Many thanks. So if you can get that into us, if you've travelled that, I'd really appreciate it. Why not close the schools for a week? A lot of schools' children falling on ice and ending up in casualty, putting more pressure on the hospitals. Again, I can see the argument for that, but it puts an awful lot of pressure on working families as well. And so often now, mum and dad's out at work and the children go to school, and to try and get alternative care would be very difficult, or unpaid leave would have to be taken. Just to advise that I had a urologist appointment next month with a doctor in Letterkenny Hospital, and received a letter today saying the appointment had been cancelled. I contacted the hospital and was told the consultant no longer works there and will get their new appointment when he's replaced, but they did not know when that would happen. So we'll check into that. I do know there was some... We had some information about some consultants considering some job offers elsewhere. We didn't get round to that because we don't want to throw stuff out there that's not going to happen. But anyway, we shall see. Let's see. Katrina's with me now. Hiya, Katrina.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Now, this story's a load of rubbish, isn't it? What happened?
Oh, tell me about a load of rubbish. It's to do with my bin collecting provider. They assured me, they sent me an email and a text to say that my refuse would be collected on Saturday.
Right.
I put out my refuse and my sister put out hers on Friday night with our tags on, which has never been a problem in the past. We've always had our bins collected right up to Christmas week, and bins weren't collected. It's now Tuesday. I've tried to contact them to no avail, other than I got a very brief answer from one of the people that work in Panda, which is in Dublin somewhere, to say that they apologise and that they will try and sort this out. Now, they said they would ring me today. They haven't rang me. Also, I rang them yesterday and was on for an hour, and whilst I was on the phone, just went dead.
Now, it's a nightmare. This is all your Christmas stuff. You're in the Blue Banks area. Are you the only one affected?
Yeah, myself, I'm seriously thinking of changing my refuge provider.
Does your sister use tags as well?
Yeah, we both use tags, yeah.
And do we know if there's been any change in relation to that? Maybe others are doing it in a different way, or could that be the problem, or what do you think?
Well, I know that they have changed it from sort of the Blue Banks, or from sort of Kilmacrenan on down,
yeah,
where it's now becoming that you have to pay direct debit. Like my mother now, who's in an elderly lady, has to go to the post office. They didn't pick her bin up 1 week because she was €2 in arrears.
Uh-huh.
And she had to wait another 2 weeks until she paid the money that she had to pay for, whatever it is €15 a fortnight.
Uh-huh.
But I just feel that the whole system is totally wrong, and it's very difficult for people to get contact with Panda.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to make our inquiries. Hopefully we can get through. I presume now you want your bin back up, because there's rubbish that needs to go into that. Bin's probably sitting in the hall at this point or something like that. So
And there's birds everywhere, and they're pulling out all the rubbish.
Nightmare.
I have a child. My sister's got two young children. There could be vermin. I'm just disgusted.
Leave it with us. And I think there's a couple of things going on here. I think if you were able to get through to customer care and to be told exactly what the situation was, is you could deal with that. But the problem is you've been told would be collected. It hasn't been collected, and you can't really get a straight answer. So leave it with us, Katrina. We'll see what we can do.
Oh, thank you so much, Greg.
All right, take
care.
Bye-bye. Thanks
you
very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Katrina there. Hi, Greg. Regards that person needing transport to Galway in hospital, Inid Niamh Padraig in Gweedore takes patients from all over Donegal to their appointments. Right, so this is gentleman. Was this the gentleman that was in the Inishowen area? We've got contact numbers here for Inid Niamh Padraig. We might actually contact them on behalf of that listener with their permission, just to see if we can connect them, rather than give that man a number. I imagine he's up to high dough, because he has to leave on Friday morning. And we've just heard from Kenneth there from the Donegal Weather Channel that Friday morning could be dodged as well. So leave it with us, and we'll see if we can sort of liaise with that gentleman and that service to see if it's doable. Caller says, if we cut crime, judges, solicitors, probation would have no jobs. We need criminals to keep the money machine rolling. I'm not sure that's the motivation, but I get where you're coming from. A caller says, it's said that up to 80% of prisoners have undiagnosed ADHD. I wonder about that. I mean, I wonder if you did sort of a diagnosis of the general population, where it would be at, and how that might marry with the prison population. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't really know what that means in as part of the wider conversation. My apologies for not getting that. Let me see now our next comment. Greg, for the lady travelling to Galway, I came through Barnesmore Gap to Letterkenny this morning, and the gap was okay. I just proceeded with caution. According to updates, the road from Tubbercurry to Knock is very dangerous, though. That comes in from Seamus. Yeah, I would have decent confidence. If I was heading to Sligo now, I'd have decent confidence that I'd get there okay. Because those roads are often some of the best and first to be treated. Going beyond that, my knowledge would be full of gaps. Just to remind you, listeners, if you don't mind, that the Burt Bingo is off tonight. Thanks from Kathleen. There's going to be a few people not happy that the bingo's off. I'm told now that the back of Errigal Road is very dangerous and slippy, and there's a car currently off the road, so we hope they're okay, and we ask you to be really, really careful out there. Right, okay, that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show today. It's been a busy one, and thank you, by the way, for working with us to spread the information out as it relates to the conditions of our roads. I suspect there'll be a bit more of that tomorrow as people have to go about their business, and we can use our hive mind of our 9 till noon show family to help other people. It's great to have that, isn't it? Okay, thanks very much indeed. Thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched it and produced the show. Thanks to Shannon, working away as well. And for me, Greg Hughes, have a great day.